I'll draw 3 cards, please.
2 for the dealer.
I got a full house. What you got, sucker?
Gee, does that beat me? All I got is 2 pair. A pair of ones and another pair of ones.
Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. The sound bite at the top of the show was actually Bugs Bunny. It's from an old Bugs Bunny cartoon. As you picked up in the audio, Bugs Bunny playing draw poker, gets his cards, and then is unsure if his pair of quote-unquote ones, if his pair of aces, and his second pair of aces, so he has 2 pairs of aces. Not sure if that's going to beat the full house. Bugs Bunny cartoon bringing out the best in poker ignorance from. I should have said that. Imagine that has to be from like the 70s or something like that. So I found that on the internet. I thought it was funny, so I wanted to share all with you. And man, wouldn't we all up to have 2 pairs of aces more often in our poker lives, huh? Happy Halloween, everybody! I am going as a successful handicapper, since that's something that hasn't been a reality for me lately. That's what I'll be for Halloween. No, I'm kidding. I don't really partake in much Halloween. I was making the joke the other night that Halloween's not really a holiday that I get excited for, and then my wife snapped back with, "I don't think you get excited for any holidays," which... I don't think she's wrong. So, but the one thing that I do enjoy, is now that I'm a homeowner and no longer live that city apartment life, we actually get trick-or-treaters, which is something that never happened in the apartment complexes that I lived in. So, this will be our second year in a row handing out candy, which let me tell you, if you haven't done this, even if it's something you don't enjoy year to year, this the first time you do it, it kind of makes you feel like an adult. I don't know what it is, but like you really feel like you've reached a certain adult status and when you're handing out candy from your home to trick-or-treaters. So me and my wife will enjoy doing that. I went up to Horseshoe Baltimore on Sunday. Went up to Horseshoe Baltimore. Had some direct bet. So I went up there. Horseshoe Baltimore, I think I've mentioned, is pretty generous, sort of on what they're offering. For every 2 weeks, I get a direct bet offer. I guess I'll say not every 2 weeks, it's twice a month. So like 1st through 15th and then 16th through 31st of each month, like where there's 2, and in each segment of time, I get, a direct bet offer. They had a duffel bag gift giveaway. And then they also, I haven't really picked up on the frequency of this. I want to say it's either once a month or maybe it's even paired into that twice a month thing like the other one is. But, if you go to your account in a slot machine, not a kiosk, but if you go to a slot machine and access your account, I often get 2,000 reward credits, just like boom, here you go, happy gambling, here's 2,000, and that's $20, right? That's $20 in food and beverage, right? So I went up there, I got my 2,000 reward credits, boom, there's $20 for reward credits. I already had like $150 plus in reward credits, right, which is enough for me when I'm not in a off to Vegas state. So when I went to go pick up my duffel bag, usually I take the reward credits when they offer me the gift or the reward credits, because the reward credits is usually a little bit more than I would expect the value of the bag to be, or the gift, I should say. But this time it was only 2,000 reward credits, and I'm sure the duffel bag that I got probably wasn't worth more than $10-$15. But even so, it wasn't quite enough for me to, I just got a 2,000, already had plenty, so I took the duffel bag. Luggage is something I feel like I can never really have enough of, for any reason. So, some sort of baggage or luggage. So, I got a new duffel bag, and then, I went to the kiosk and I went to collect my direct bet. Now, what's interesting about the direct bet is in the past few months, So the email always says $90 in direct bet or 9,000 reward credits. Those are your choices. One night I went with my wife and I picked the 9,000. No, I didn't go with my wife. I went by myself, maybe. I don't know. One time I chose the 9,000 reward credits, and that's one of the reasons why I have so many reward credits right now, is I got the 9,000 one time. But then I went up with my wife, and when we went up, they offered me $150 direct bet. And I was like, oh, okay. And same thing with this time. I got $150 in direct bet. So if it was a 90 versus 9,000, I'd probably go with the reward credits. But the 150 in direct bet, I liked that enough. And so I think I came away with $60 or $70 off of that direct bet. I played one hand of Baccarat. I played one hand of Pai Gow. I played a blackjack. I did $25 at Baccarat, won. $25 at Pai Gow, lost. So then I played $5 $10 hands of blackjack. And I didn't do well there. I think only won one or two. But then I took my $50 direct bet coupon to another blackjack table, and I won that one. So that was pretty good. I saw something at the blackjack tables there that I thought was pretty interesting. I won't talk about it here because I called into You Can Bet on That to tell them about it, to get their thoughts. So I'll let them provide their thoughts and discuss it before I bring it up on here. So if you're curious as to what that might be, check out You Can Bet on That, coming out every other Thursday. So something I usually talk about on the show that you probably haven't heard me talk about in a long time is tournaments, right? I used to play a lot of blackjack tournaments. In fact, I have a Patreon patron level that is specific to tournament play. I have a $7 Patreon level if I win any of these tournaments, Baccarat, slots, blackjack, anything that's non-poker, then those patrons would get 5% of those winnings, and it's been fun. You know, winnings are not guaranteed, obviously, but it was a fun way. It was a fun level to create to sort of have a possible kickback to my supporters. And for the summer and everything, it was great. Like MGM National Harbor had a Baccarat tournament every month. They had a blackjack tournament every month. There's been a few times this year that they would have weekly blackjack tournaments in a month. But in the past like 2.5 months since their last tournament series, I think they've only had one, and it was a day that didn't work out for me. And I think they've only had one Baccarat tournament too. So what used to be sort of a monthly thing, I feel like I don't think they had a blackjack tournament at all in October, and I don't think they had one at Baccarat either. So I think September was the last time either of those had happened. And here we are, October 31st, and their website still has not updated on what the November promotions are going to be. So I'm kind of curious as to how tournament play is going to look moving forward at MGM National Harbor. It's something I'm gonna have to rethink, that part of my gambling. I was so used to that being a regular part, but who knows? We'll see what happens. I do know that in their last blackjack series, their tournament, like, so one every week, there was a couple weeks where they couldn't hold a tournament because they didn't have a minimum of 36 players. And so who knows? Maybe it was a signal to them to not offer it as much. Who knows? But hopefully, I'm probably going to have to start. What's probably going to have to happen is I'm probably going to have to get into more slot tournaments. Usually I don't care about slot tournaments, but for the sake of getting into tournaments and still exercising that part of my gambling life, I may have to expand into that. And Baccarat tournaments as well too. I need to get down on those, but. So we're a week and a half away from Veterans Day. And for those, most of you know, I am a Marine Corps veteran. I spent 5.5 years in my beloved Marine Corps. For most of that, I was an embassy guard. I was guarding embassies across the world. Veterans Day is a very interesting day for me, as I am not one to really really think too much of my service, but do appreciate the recognition that other veterans get. And the day before Veterans Day is actually a bigger day for me because that's the Marine Corps birthday, and I care so much more about that than I do about Veterans Day. But I'm bringing all that up because casino reward programs often have a military or veteran program. And so I want to bring that up this time so that way I'm going to bring it up this week because if this applies to you or you know someone who could take advantage of this, I want them to be able to do so in time before Veterans Day if maybe they're going to go take advantage of things or if they're going to go to the casino or whatever on Veterans Day. So the two that I'm going to bring up, of course, are the two big reward programs, and of course, that is Total Rewards and M Life. Most local casinos are going to have some sort of military recognition, whether they have a Veterans Day event, Armed Forces Day, 4th of July. There's often events at your local casino. A lot of times they have like weekly. So I know like Maryland Live around here has a, I think it's Wednesdays. Wednesdays Maryland Live has a sort of like a military and first responders. I think they call it Heroes Day. I think is what they call it, like Heroes Day, which is probably one of the reasons why I haven't really gone because God knows I'm not a hero. But they offer like they give you like a food credit and a discount on drinks, and I think maybe they might even offer free play. And so your local casino probably has something like that. And then the two big ones, Total Rewards and M Life, right? So Total Rewards, if you can prove military status, and you can do that either through like ID.me or I think you can probably even bring in a official veteran card, like when you go to the Players Club. But active duty and veterans can now enjoy additional benefits from the Total Rewards Salute card. And let me tell you, the card's pretty. It's got a pretty cool design. It's got like this like American flag type design. You enjoy complimentary platinum status, which is cool. So you're automatically upgraded to platinum, and that's I found that to be typically the case with rewards programs that have a veteran program, is that you'll get the second tier automatically, and that doesn't go away so long as they have you in their system as a veteran. So even if you don't play enough to be that second tier, so long as you're in their program as a veteran, you'll have that second tier. That's pretty usual. You get complimentary self and valet parking, which of course is something I think that comes with the platinum, right? So I don't, who knows if that's really anything. Special pricing at restaurants, which I think is a veterans discount that they military or veterans discount that they offer at the restaurants themselves. So that's kind of nice. I've also done the military and veterans program at M Life. Similar thing. You get complimentary Pearl status, and then of course you have With the complimentary Pearl status, of course, you get the benefits that come with Pearl. And then they have like military and veteran specific discounts at some buffets. A lot of spas that the M Life have veteran discounts, concert venues, and then like some other the Tournament of Kings at Excalibur, I think, has a veteran's price. And then M Life has a consistent 10% off military rooms. I don't know why they have that red like that. They have an offer for military and veterans, 10% off rooms, if that's something you would need to take advantage of if you don't have like a comp offer or anything like that. So it's not like mind-blowing, which I actually kind of appreciate. I kind of appreciate that it's just sort of it's generous, but it's not overdone. But if you are a veteran, if you are active duty military, if you have someone in your family that meets one of those criteria, I think first responders in some cases can take advantage of some things, maybe a different type of program. But your local casino probably has something available to you to recognize you for your time in the military. So I am not against taking what is offered to me. I should say that's probably the best way of putting it. I'm not against taking what is already being offered to me because of my service. So what's nice is if you're someone, and here's where you can really take advantage of this at the casino when you're playing table games, is if you're handing your military branded rewards card, your player's card. Like I said, the you know, they have different designed cards, right? So the M Life card says Military and Veterans Program on it. The Total Rewards card is a branded like with the American flag. What I didn't like about that is it, like, when I asked for one, they only have it available in Platinum. So, like, although I'm a Diamond status member, I asked for one of these cards and they only had it in Platinum, which I thought was kind of weird. But I guess it technically doesn't really matter. But what's nice is if you give it to the boxman or the floorman who's gonna, like, start your ratings, they're gonna see that you're a veteran. And if for some reason that strikes a chord with them, who knows? Maybe your rating is just a little bit better. Maybe they choose not to notice if your betting starts to decrease a little bit or whatever it may be. It's just another thing to sort of take advantage while you're playing, something that while you're playing might work to your advantage. Of course, I will never advocate anybody pounding their chest about their service and hoping that it gets more benefits to them. But again, if it's being offered, if it's a byproduct that's going to happen naturally without you doing anything more than just identifying yourself as a veteran, I'm all for it. So check out those programs. Check out your local casino. See what days or nights they have going on. Sometimes they even come with free play. And, you know, I'm never going to turn down free play. So good luck in all of that. Thank you to all our veterans out there. I will echo this sentiment again next week as we go into Veterans Day. But I will say that now, since I did a little segment on veterans benefits at casinos. This week's interview is with Karen from the 360 Vegas podcast. Karen and I were playing craps together at Ellis Island. And in that moment, I was like, hey, she is a gambler. I'm going to go ahead and get her on the better life. So I shot her a casual invitation. She agreed. Just a couple months ago, we started emailing back and forth, trying to find out a day. Finally got one that worked out for both of us, and we made it happen. Karen's going to talk to us about growing up in a conservative household, sort of being turned away from gambling at an early age, and then how she slowly started getting exposed to it, and then how her affinity for Vegas and the love she had for that sort of bringing her more around gambling, and how the group gaming and the social aspect of it, the occasion of it, sort of brought the gambler out of her and allows her to enjoy it more. And we get a really cool perspective from her as someone who now lives in Vegas as well, and how that's impacted not only her gambling, but her views on the city as well. So really interesting conversation. Enjoy. But we are recording. So Karen from the 360 Vegas podcast, ma'am, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me. I've been looking forward to this.
Yes, I saw on Twitter that you were defending yourself towards some people wondering where you are and claiming that no one invites you. And I do appreciate you throwing it in there that you and I did have a pending invite that we were getting together, and here we are finally making it happen.
Absolutely, and you know what? It's funny. Part of that was a jab at Tony too. You know, Tony is such a he's a great co-host, but he's also kind of a man about town, right? He'll talk to anybody and everybody, which is great. And, you know, great advocate for both the shows that he's on. But it's kind of funny. I think people assume, you know, because Mark doesn't really do interviews. He kind of does his own thing, and that's what he wants to do. And I think some people assume that me by proxy is going to be the same way. I loved it when you asked me about it and being on the show. I was like, absolutely, we can do that. Sometimes yes. Somebody wants to ask me some questions.
Well, I hadn't really thought of it because when I invited Tony on, I invited Tony sort of because of the gaming. You know, he makes plenty of gaming references and talks about gambling in Vice Lounge Online. And I know that not everybody that loves Vegas likes to gamble, right? So I don't like making that assumption sometimes. And then then you and I were at a craps table together, and I was like, well, clearly she gambles.
I do. Yes, I do. That's one of my vices now.
I like that. One of them. Nice. So bring us to that first moment that you remember seeing gambling, that first exposure to gambling. When was that in your life?
Actually, it would have been, well, this is kind of funny. I think I've always known about gambling, but growing up, it was, quite honestly, it was a sin and it was something that you didn't do. So I grew up in a very religious family. My father was a minister, and he adopted kind of a 100% avoidance tactic of anything that could be considered a vice, I guess. And I think that was kind of influenced by my grandmother on my dad's side. She actually was part of, and this is going way back, like the Women's Temperance Union. So, you know, the group of women that were fighting for prohibition and all of that kind of stuff. And so she was very religious and straightforward, and anything that the Bible might have even mentioned was a sin. So drinking was a sin, and smoking was a sin, and gambling was a sin, and singing, unless it was in honor of God, was a sin. So, you know, gambling was kind of on that list of these are those vices and things that you don't do. But then ironically, as, you know, you go through grade school and stuff, one of my best friends growing up, her dad played euchre. And I don't know how many folks, if you're not from Michigan or the Midwest, you might not know what euchre is. But it's a card game similar to spades. And he had taught, you know, my best friend how to play. And of course, they played for money. And then she taught me, and it was something that I never played for money, but definitely played, you know, the card games. And that's kind of where I learned a little bit about, well, this is how you bet and raise and that kind of stuff.
Very cool. So then, when do you remember sort of when you, how old were you when this happened? Grade school, you said?
Oh, yeah, we were probably, you know, fourth or fifth grade when he started teaching us how to play.
Okay. So then, as you get older, when you're on the cusp of being a legal age to actually legally gamble, was that something you venture? Were you into gambling at that point yet, or
no.
Did it take a while?
No, I really didn't. So for me, gambling was one of those things where I didn't have a lot of disposable income, and I didn't particularly want to risk it. So even I think the first time I might have like bet on anything would have been in college, and you know they did like football squares.
Sure.
You know, where you buy squares and $5 a square or something like that. That might have been the first time I ever did any kind of gambling. But really didn't, not even like the NCAA basketball tournament pool, partially because I didn't really follow basketball, but it just wasn't something that I was into. And like I said, I didn't have a lot of disposable income, so I didn't want to risk it. I was a little conservative.
Yeah, well, I think I kind of wish that I had felt the same way at certain parts and times of my life. So then what finally gets you into gambling? Was it when you first discovered Vegas and fell in love with that, or was there something else that brought you into appreciating games of choice?
So the very first time that I remember gambling, specifically in a casino, was ironically with a bunch of my coworkers. We went on and this is back in the day when, you know, companies would reward employees with trips. And my company sent Mark and I with a group of folks on a trip to Aruba. And in Aruba, you know, the hotels all have casinos associated with them. So I'm there with a group of my friends, and the DO was like a huge gambler. And he's like, come on, we're going to play roulette. This is easy. It's a fun game. Pick a number, do whatever. And so that was the first time I actually remember putting money down on any kind of a game. And we did pretty well with it, but I also was very cautious. So like, I very rarely would play a number. I would play like the sections of the board. So I'd pick like, I'd play the third of the board, or I'd do, I never did red or black, but it was kind of like, all right, well, if I get a bunch of numbers here, you know, I won't necessarily win as much, but my likelihood of hitting one of those is better. So that was really the first time that I ever gambled, and we had a great time doing it. But where we were living at the time, we were living in Columbus, Ohio. You know, there weren't any casinos nearby. So it had to be, it wasn't something we did on a regular basis.
Okay.
And then ironically, the first time we came to Vegas, it took me quite a while to warm up to gambling just in general, actually. The first time I came to Vegas, I came for work without Mark and absolutely hated it, which is kind of funny now. well, when you come,
What didn't you enjoy about it?
Well, so, you know, I was out here for a work convention, and I remember it was at Caesar's Palace, and they basically kept me so scheduled from morning till night that, you know, because you would have breakfast meetings and then all day conference and breakout sessions, and then you had group dinners, and you just never had a chance to kind of step away unless you stayed up really ungodly late and then you paid for it the next morning. And also, I never went outside. So for me, it was like Vegas was kind of this big, and again, it's Caesar's, which is gigantic. So it was just this big place you were sort of trapped for 4 or 5 days with all your coworkers, and there was no way to escape. So that was kind of my first impression of it. And then, you know, Mark had never been and was obsessed with anything Egyptian at the time. So he wanted to stay at Luxor. So that was our first trip out here was, you know, we stayed at Luxor, and that started his obsession with the city, which meant then, you know, I had to come out here a whole bunch of times too. And obviously he wore me down eventually because we live here now. But it took me a while to warm up to, you know, what Vegas is and what there is to do here. And then even, you know, getting into the gambling part of it, I think I started with slot machines because the table games were so intimidating.
Yeah.
And it's ironic now because I hardly ever play slots. There's two slots now that I will still look for. And if I find them, I'll sit down and play. But other than that, I'm pretty much all video poker and table games.
Very well. So when you and Mark started going to Vegas, in the year of the most frequent trips, how many trips would you have said you've made out to Vegas in a calendar year?
The most that we did was 4.
Okay.
And it was usually, I think it was maybe 3 years ago. So we had 2 Vegas vacations, and then we came out for a weekend conference weekend concert. And then there's some other reason we popped out real quick. I don't remember. I might have had a work conference that Mark then tagged along to. But yeah, 4 trips in a year was the most that we've done. We tend to average probably 2. But yeah, 4 has been the most.
And then so you started playing slots, intimidated by table games. Now you don't really play slots much at all. You lean more towards table games and video poker. What was it, a gradual process, or do you remember when tell me about like when you first started playing more table games and realizing like, oh snap, this is where the fun is.
Right. I think the first kind of foray into it was with blackjack. Excuse me. And Mark had, you know, of course, gotten me to download this blackjack app on the phone, right? So you could sort of practice hands. And that was when I kind of realized, okay, well, yeah, there's variables based on the size of the shoe and how many cards, but this is pretty easy to count up to 21. It's like, okay, I can do that. And it was more just than training yourself on when you're supposed to hit and when you're not.
Right.
And I think we also then were able to, I think it might have been like the first Vegas vacation was when I really sat down, because we were able to sit down a group of us at a table, which is much less intimidating when you're sitting with a group of friends versus if you walk up to a table and you don't know if the guy that's sitting in the first position or the last position is going to be one of those, you know, God damn it, you should have hit, that was my card, blah, 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 you know, like one of those angry ones. And so then you just get more comfortable with it, right? So when you're sitting there with a group of friends, they might rib you a little bit, but it's not as intimidating, depending on whether you got a quote unquote serious gambler sitting there. So that kind of started it. And then craps, obviously, which is, you know, one of my favorite games. Craps was the game that probably took me the longest to get ready to play, just because there's so much going on at the table at one time. And you hate to walk up to a table by yourself, right? Because then all the attention is on you. But you don't want to walk up to a table that's got a group of people, because then you're like, well, if I don't know what I'm doing, are they going to get mad? Da, 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 da. So I think it was one of the, you know, come by and learn how to play days or something that Mark and I did. And I started, quite honestly, just betting the pass line and just that one bet and leaving it there and then kind of watching everything else that was going on. And just the more that you did it, and quite honestly, the first time we did, you know, a group gaming with craps at a 360 Vegas vacation where we had all friends at the table made it so much easier because everybody was so nice and like, well, this is, you know, this is what odds on means and this is how you back up and the combat works like this and that kind of stuff. So it just, it kind of was a gradual progression to the table game. But once you started there, then the slot machines just went out the window because you got so tired of sitting there hitting a button and seeing absolutely nothing happen and having no control of what was going on that you're like, okay, this isn't fun. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. I think I want to say it was Tony that was talking about it, but I don't know which podcast it was on. I think it was when he was on Vito's podcast. He was talking about there was a slot machine that was branded, it had a brand that he really enjoyed from growing up or whatever. Went to go play it, super excited, sat down, put his $20 in. I think hit the button twice and like literally nothing happened. Like there wasn't any like animations. There wasn't even entertainment. It was like, what was the point of it? Like if you're just like gonna like take the money, like give me some sort of like entertainment. And exactly. I feel the exact same way about slot machines. It feels so weird to just sit there. Like at least in video poker, there's like a decision to be made, right? And it's so funny that before I even learned how to play video poker, I looked at it as like this sort of bland screen that some people played. And then I started playing it, and I started like really enjoying like the decision making part of it. And it's so funny how this game that looks like it isn't any fancier than like a Super Nintendo is far more entertaining than the big like, you know, Xbox One type game that's over there, right?
And especially now with the huge screens that they're putting in with the curved screens and all this extra stuff that goes all the way up. And the other thing with slot machines too is we kind of got spoiled. So Mark a couple times went to G2E, which is the gaming gambling expo that's here in Vegas, because he is part of the media, because he has a podcast, gets a free pass, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of a cool thing for us to go in and see the convention floor and the new games. But the dangerous part about that is the games are set up to just go right into the bonus rounds. So you walk up, and I remember, I think it was the new Britney Spears slot machine when that was coming out, and you know, you sat down and they pushed the little button on the side and then all of a sudden all the bonus rounds start coming up and start going. And once you get a chance to see those, you're like, okay, this is cool. I want to play these bonus rounds. And then you go actually sit down in a casino. And when you, to your point, you put in even $20 and it's gone in 5 minutes and you literally had nothing happen. You're like, well, this isn't any fun at all. Like, why am I wasting? You know, I can go in and play video poker for 50 cents a piece and have some control and, you know, input into what's going on. So, yeah, that kind of ruined slots for me. But like I said, there are still two that I will go play. If I find them, I will go play. My favorite still is All That Glitters, which is, it's like a jewel gem game that has cascading reels, right? So if you make a match, they disappear and more come down. And for some reason, you know, that game, I do okay at it. Like I never get a big jackpot, but like I'll get down and then win the bonus round and come back up. And I don't know, that one's just always, if I can find it still. And there's one at New York, right by the escalators. But yeah, that one, and the other one is Gems, which is another one that has kind of cascading tiles and that kind of stuff. So those are the only two that I will still sit down and play. Otherwise, I'm just like, yeah, okay, don't need to.
You and Mark have been doing 360 Vegas for two. I think you guys put out episode 282. Which is, let me tell you, I've been podcasting for a very long time. I have conceptualized and launched dozens of podcasts, and only a few of them have even gotten past the 100 mark. Getting past the 200 mark is incredible. Approaching the 300 mark, that's a lot of time and a lot of commitment to one concept. So I applaud the longevity of that show.
Well, and I have to give all kinds of credit to Mark. I mean, this has become his passion. This is something that he loves and something that he enjoys. And so he's continued to do it, you know, to quote Frank Sinatra, I guess, you know, his way, my way. And at the end of the day, I think we're fortunate that people have found it entertaining and continue to listen. So that, you know, shows that other people are passionate about what he's doing too. And he really does put a lot of work into it. So I get the notes a little bit before and show up at this point, but no, he puts all the work.
Nice.
Yeah, he puts all the work into it and does a great job with it.
Have either of you, you mentioned that he uses the podcast as a way to get, you get media credentials to G2E. Have either of you used the podcast for media credentials to other things?
No. Okay. I think one time we did get, there was somebody that he was talking with at Monte Carlo that does their social media. Oops, sorry, hold on a second. My phone's buzzing at me. Turn the alarm off. Okay. Sorry about that.
No worries.
He was connected with somebody at Monte Carlo that was on social media, and they offered us comp tickets to go see the Jabberwockies when they were there.
Oh.
Yeah, which was really cool. And, you know, but we told them, you know, we'll go see the show, but if we don't like it, we're going to say, you know, we're not going to like it. So we've tried not to you don't want to take advantage of it for personal gain is kind of our thing, because we always want to make sure we're coming off as very authentic. Like, this is us, not you know, so-and-so gave us, you know, a comp dinner or a free meal, and so we're going to say something nice about them. Like, we never really wanted to do that.
Right.
So we really haven't, other than, like I said, just the G2E, and that was, you know, research technically for Mark on the show and what was coming out next and that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you grew up in a very conservative religious household. Gambling was a vice.
Yeah.
Stay away from it.
Yes.
So now that you do this podcast with the Vegas brand, you live in Vegas now, clearly you talk about drinking and gambling and stuff like that. How has that been perceived by your family now that you've entered adulthood and are indulging in all of these vices?
Yeah. Well, it's been fine. You know, my dad passed a few years ago. And my mom, ironically, she grew up Lutheran. So like my grandmother on that side, you know, loves her beer. My grandfather used to smoke a pipe, and my grandmother goes and gambles with her lady friend, you know, one day a month or something. So it's very much accepted on that side. I think for my dad and my mom, when I was growing up, my mom deferred to my dad and how he wanted to prioritize it. And you know, so for me, they know that I'm not going to gamble money that I can't afford to. So,
right.
You know, they're okay with that. They know that, yes, I'm over 21, so it's legal for me to drink, and that's fine. You know, we try not to share any of the too crazy, rough events and days and nights where you're like, I don't remember what happened. So I don't really go into that detail with them.
Right.
And I don't think, honestly, I don't think they listen to the podcast. They know, about the show. They know about, you know, the listener meetups and coming out here, and, they've actually been very supportive about, you know, what Mark's doing with the podcast and the, you know, the people and the friends that we've met from doing it. So, you know, if I had a gambling problem, I think my family might look at it a little bit differently, but, actually I'm trying to get my brothers, to come out at some point in time. Neither one of them have ever been to Vegas. So we're trying to get them to come out. And, my mom is on the list now that, you know, we've moved out here. She usually would come visit us a couple times a year. We'd fly her down to wherever we were living. And she just hasn't made it out here yet, but it's on her to-do list too. So, you know, they're fine with it. I'm an adult. I make my own decisions, and I'm not hurting anybody. So they're good with that.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you're not hurting anybody. That's good to hear. Some of us worry about Mark. He puts on a front on the show, but we know how it goes behind the scenes. Now that you guys moved out there earlier this year. And of course, you know, there's whenever someone makes a move to Vegas, and I've had friends move out to Vegas, and I think each of them have since left. And there's always that question of like, well, are you really going to enjoy it as much as you do when you visit it?
Right.
And I'm curious about this in two ways. The first is, do you find the novelty of gambling? Not that gambling is really too novel anymore, because it's in, you know, the 40 states now have casinos.
Right.
You know, 48 states have a gambling of some sort, but there's something different about the Vegas experience of gambling, especially with
right.
table minimums and opportunities. Is it? I mean, do you find yourself going out and gambling sort of on, like, sort of like, oh, I feel like going out and playing some blackjack today, or is it now more occasion based?
So I think that's different, and I hate to speak for Mark, but I think it's different for Mark and I. I, quite honestly, gambling had kind of turned to me more of an occasion based thing, especially once we started doing the Vegas vacations, because as I mentioned, being able to go and sit down at a table with a group of friends is just a very different experience that I really enjoy. So I think for me, for the most part, gambling is still experience based. However, every so often, you know, you kind of get that little buzz about, I'm going to go play some video poker or something like that. And, you know, where we live, we're about 5 minutes from the Red Rock Casino. And then it's about 20 to 25 minutes to either Fremont or the Strip. So, you know, obviously the local casinos have better odds, lower table limits, that kind of stuff, and they're easier to get in and out of. So if we do ever get that, you know, that bug that we want to, and Mark gets it probably more often than I do. Usually I'll tag along. I'm like, yeah, let's, you know, we'll go play some blackjack or video poker over here, wherever. But when it comes to going down to the Strip is still much more of an experience base. It's usually somebody's coming into town, or, you know, we've seen several concerts down on the Strip, and you might go down a little bit early and gamble for a bit before you go to the show. So that's changed. Well, I guess it hasn't changed, because we wouldn't go to the Strip normally when we weren't living here, you know, unless you made it an event to come down. So it's still, the Strip is still a novelty. The locals casino has probably added in a little more of a regular, you know, day to day, hey, let's just go do this sort of thing. But the Strip is still, I mean, it's still the Strip. Is it easier to get to now? Yes, but it hasn't really changed in how we approach it. That
sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Do you, so if you were to go gaming by yourself, what would you be, would you go play, would you sit down video poker? Would you go sit at a table? What would you play if you just happy, like, you know what? I need to get away from Mark. I feel like getting some action down. You run off the Red Rocks. Like, what are you doing if you're gambling by yourself?
It would probably either be video poker or blackjack.
Okay.
And some of that may depend on, you know, do I want a couple drinks relatively quickly, or, you know, do I just want to sit back and, you know, play at a table for a little bit? But yeah, it's probably going to be one of those two. I very rarely will walk up to a craps table at Red Rock, or I haven't yet. Again, just because you never really know, you know, what you're getting at those. So, but no, it would either be video poker or blackjack.
When I was in Vegas back in June, my wife came with me. It was her first time in Vegas. She enjoys the outdoors. So we spent most of one of the days out hiking Red Rock Canyon and
nice.
Went up to Magic Mountain, stuff like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the way back from the canyon, you know, I like to collect chips from casinos, but, you know, my stipulation on myself is I have to gamble in some way at that casino, right? So,
right.
So
yep.
We swung by Red Rock. We were getting kind of hungry, so we swung by Red Rock. Ran up to a craps table, put down, or the guy was mid roll. I threw some, I made a place on the don't, or on the don't come. It got moved to the five, and then, like, he rolled a five right away. And it was so, having my wife watch just how quickly money can go from table to off the table.
It can go fast. So what did she think? Is she going to be willing to come back, or was this kind of a one time and she's like, yeah, I'm good. I want to go someplace else.
I think she would be willing to come back. She admitted that one of the things she definitely saw how easy it would be to get a group of people to meet in Vegas.
Right.
You know, like, cause it's somewhere that a lot of people want to go. It's pretty easily, it's pretty affordable for most cities to fly into Vegas. And so she definitely saw the value in that. Like, you know, maybe in a couple of years we invite a bunch of friends to come hang out with us in Vegas, and this would be and Vegas simply being the vehicle that gets people there, and then, you know, we enjoy
right.
enjoy what's there. You know, she's interested in the things that I enjoy, and so she had fun, I think, walking around watching me look at video poker pay tables and you know, like, betting on sports and stuff like that. But I, you know, She really enjoyed the outdoors part of it. I think if I built a vacation where, you know, half of it was sort of out hiking in the canyon or even maybe visiting, you know, other parts of the area, and then the other half of it would be enjoying Vegas, I think she'd go back. But, you know, I think the difference, unless you're really into what Vegas has to offer, Vegas isn't good enough to replace other traveling opportunities.
That's something that Mark, so here's kind of how he got me engaged into Vegas, right? Because for him, Vegas was an immediate fell in love with it. Me, probably a little bit more like your wife, because I'm not a big gambler. I like the restaurants and the spas and that kind of stuff. And I think the way that Mark kind of got me more hooked on the city, because it was, okay, if you were going to an all-inclusive resort in Mexico, right? So you've got spas, you've got gambling, you've got drinking, you've got food. That's kind of what you have in Vegas. I mean, it's not all-inclusive, but anything that you want to do, you can do. You don't have to touch a table at any point in time during the trip. There's so many other things you can do, and that's just on the strip. That's your point, you know, before you even get off strip and go to the mountains or any of that kind of stuff. And I think that's when Vegas has such a stigma about it, that it's a gambling, decadent, drinking, all that kind of stuff. When you kind of look at all the other things that you can do, that's where you realize what a cool city it is. And that was how Mark kind of got me on board with, okay, yeah, this is where we want to move. And then to your point, everybody comes through Vegas at some point in time,
yeah,
which has been great. Even in the, you know, 3 months or so that we've lived here, the number of folks that have come in to visit that we then pop on, you know, down to the strip or Fremont or wherever that, and meet up with them. Like, we've seen more people in the last 3 months than we probably had in 3 years. So, it is, I think Vegas does have that stigma. So keep working on your wife, bring her back a couple more times, but, it's kind of a running joke that all you've got to do to get your wife to fall in love with Vegas is to bring him to a 360 Vegas vacation. That's how, I've met Chris Moore, you know, his wife, Julie. She came the first time and was like, I don't want to go hang out with all these strangers that I don't know. And she came to a couple events and loved it. Now she's our, you know, unofficial photographer, and
yeah,
they're great friends of ours. And, you know, there's been a couple other folks that just, once you kind of bring them and get them with this group of people that are happy and easygoing and like to have a good time, I mean, that's when you kind of go, okay, this is a great meetup spot, because you can either do what the group wants to do, or you say, no, I don't want to do that. Let's go find something else. It's just, I don't know. It's a great way to suck people in, I guess, would be good,
yeah,
to say it.
I think where I'm okay with Vegas being my thing, and you know, my wife can choose to come. I mean, I told her from the beginning, I was like, anytime I go to Vegas, you're always welcome to come. Like, you're never hindering on my experience there. If I want to break away and play blackjack for 3 hours, my wife can walk for days on end. She'll just walk the strip and let me play.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, so I always tell her, you're never impeding on my time there. You're always welcome to come. But where we really balance this out is when we go, like, we went to Scotland last year, and
mm-hmm,
and like, so while she went and did something, she like had an obligation that she had to go do, so I ran to the local casino and played blackjack, right? Like, and so so like, I got to, because that's the part that, like, I'm a gambler, right? So I, as much as I love Vegas, I enjoy the opportunity. I enjoy like the different,
right,
lifestyle that certain places have. So I've been in casinos all across the world, stuff like that. So part of, I'm okay with her not being a part of like my affinity for Vegas, as so many gamblers have, because I know when her and I travel, she's going to understand when I want to spend even an hour running and checking out the local casino to see what that's like.
Right, because then she's going to go do something that you really don't have an interest in, and that's quite all right.
Yep.
You can have your separate interests and just figure out how to travel and do them both individually.
That's right. So my other question regarding Vegas is, and this is something I like asking people anytime that they finally live somewhere that they have frequented, what appreciation do you have for the city that maybe you didn't have before you lived there?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I think so. One of the things that got me comfortable moving here, because Mark's been harassing me for forever about moving to Vegas. I was always like, no, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And, you know, I have to give Christina, who's at Raising Las Vegas on Twitter, talking with her about, you know, she's got two young kids and she's raising a family out here, and you kind of realize, okay, so this isn't all just, you know, Sin City. Like, this is a town. And one of the things that I love being out here is the options that you have. So, you know, if I want a good meal, I don't have to go down to the Strip. I can go to this little hole in the wall restaurant right around the corner, because there's so many fabulous places to eat. There's so much from a shopping standpoint, to your point. And I haven't really gotten into hiking yet, but like with your wife, I know I've driven through Red Rock and it's just gorgeous. You know, Mark and I like to ski and snowboard, and believe it or not, you can do that about 45 minutes north of here, on a pretty decent little hill. And there's so much to do, and there's so much history. It's like a good example too. I had a friend that came out to visit a couple weeks ago, and she had only ever been on the Strip, and she was here for about 4 days. And I said, okay, we're going to go everywhere but the Strip. And I think I did drive her up it in the middle of the day, because she'd never driven up and down. But, you know, we didn't go into any casinos. We did everything else, you know, either in Summerlin, or we went, I did take her to, you know, Fremont, because she'd never been there before. We wandered around the Arts District, went to the Neon Museum. There's so many other things that you can do here that I think when people think of Vegas, all they think about is, you know, the lights and the strips and the neon and that kind of stuff. And it's actually an easy city to get around. Cost of living isn't bad. And it's just, I don't know. It's been a very fun, comfortable place.
Yeah.
For us to live. So I don't know if that quite answers the question, but.
Nope, it did. You got there. Congratulations. So, Karen, I like to play a little game called Bet Your Life on it. Completely hypothetical, of course. I'm going to give you two options, and you're going to answer as if for some reason, somehow, your life depended on it. But of course, no one will be collecting or rewarding you for that matter. On either side. But the current question I'm fielding is: let's say in 10 to 15 years, we find out that there is a new number one gambling casino destination in America. It is not Las Vegas, Nevada. It is not Atlantic City. It's not even Biloxi. It is either is it either A, Colorado, who capitalizes on their recreational drugs, their outdoors activities, and builds a casino resort up on a mountain where you can ski, you can play craps, and you can smoke weed all at the same time, drawing in a whole bunch of young people? Or is it Florida that finally realizes how much old money is moving there, does a better job of turning resorts? Maybe Disney even cashes in and on, like, look, if they can bet on sports, let's get sports books in Disney World. And they build a few resorts down there that happen to skyrocket into popularity. In 10 to 15 years, you find out either Colorado or Florida have become the number one gambling casino destination in America. Which one would you say it was?
So my heart would tell me I would want it to be in Colorado, simply because I love to ski and snowboard, and I think Colorado's gorgeous. But my head would tell me that it's going to be in Florida. One big reason is that although weed is legal in Colorado, you can't smoke it on the mountains, because most of it is federal property, federal parks, so that would be illegal. And then trying to figure out how to build the casinos in there, I think, would be challenging. Versus you already have a tourist infrastructure that caters to all ages in Florida, specifically like the Orlando, but even Tampa and that kind of stuff. So I think my head would tell me that it would be in Florida.
Very well. I think I'm with you there on both accounts. Would kind of cross my fingers hoping it would be Colorado, because that'd be a whole lot of fun.
Probably
Florida. But if you think about it, I mean, the reason why I chose Colorado is because that it was the only place that I think that had some unique things to offer that other states couldn't, that could capitalize on that part, that type of tourism, right? So
yeah. And they can do it all year round. I mean, as you know, from the hiking and the nicer summer months versus all the winter sports and recreation and stuff you can do there, definitely would give them more of a range of options depending on the season, where, you know, Florida's kind of super hot and sticky or just kind of eh.
Yeah.
But from a weather standpoint, but yeah, I'm with you. I would love it if it was in Colorado, but I just think it would be easier to get done in Florida.
Yeah, I would much rather go to a Harrah's Glacier National Park over a Harrah's Disney World anytime.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Karen from the 360 Vegas podcast, thank you so much for joining me. This was a whole lot of fun. I'm glad we finally got this together. We've been trying to schedule this for weeks. We made it happen.
We did. And thank you so much. This was a blast. Really enjoyed talking with you. Love kind of your insight, or the way that you know, pose questions to folks. So thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun.
Again, big thanks to Karen from 360 Vegas Podcast for joining me. 360vegaspodcast.com is their website. She is on Twitter at Karen Mark. And big thanks to them, of course, for inviting me and letting me join in the celebration that was Vegas Vacation 7. A whole lot of fun. And I am hoping to make it out for Memorial Day on Vegas Vacation 8, because I hear that Memorial Day is that's the Vegas vacation to go to, so I'm told. So I hope to make it out there for that. By the end of the week, I'm hoping before the weekend, I will have bonus content loaded on the Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife, that will be, Eric Rosenthal talking to me about how I can go about making the logistics of getting to and staying in Vegas more affordable and allowing that to be a more frequent thing. I can't remember exactly how we frame it, because I still need to finish editing, but it's simply, I got Eric on the phone, and I was like, hey man, 2019, I want to go to Vegas a couple more times than I did in 20. So I think I went twice in 2018. I'd like to go three or four times in 2019 if I can pull it off, and by pull it off, like with the time off that I have and money wise. And of course, the cheaper the airfare is, the cheaper the hotel is, the cheaper everything else is, the easier it is to pull all that off. So I asked him, how do I do that? As someone who understands points and rewards and comps and stuff, I knew he was the guy to go to. He breaks down each aspect of it for me: airfare, hotel, eating, transportation, all of it. So if that's a conversation you would like to get your ear on, patreon.com/thebetterlife. It will be released before the end of the week, and it'll be available to all patrons. All it takes is a buck. So become a patron. Thank you for everybody who has supported, that is currently supporting. And if any of you feel the conviction to support in such way, I appreciate that, and I thank you ahead of time. Thebetterlife.us/merch. Is where you can find a few t-shirts that we have. Fun story on one of these t-shirts, okay? One of these t-shirts is one of those idiots who believes in analytics, right? That line was comes from Charles Barkley a few years ago, who was making fun of Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets. He was making fun of him and saying he's one of these idiots who believes in analytics. My friend Gil Alexander, who hosts A Numbers Game, took that soundbite, that quote, and put it in the intro music for his show A Numbers Game on VSiN. Well, after a couple of years, earlier this year, I was like, you know what, it'd be really cool to make a shirt that said that, sort of like an ode to analytics-based handicappers, and sort of make fun of that quote. And Gil agreed, so we designed this shirt. And just a couple months ago, I tweeted to Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, and I said, hey, we made these shirts, and as the person who inspired this shirt, I'd like to send you one. And he responded with an email or with a mailing address. So I sent off a shirt, And then earlier this week, I was promoting the shirt on Twitter. I tagged him in it saying, you know, this shirt inspired by Daryl Morey. And he responded with a picture of him wearing the shirt. So how cool is that? So Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets, currently owns one of our t-shirts, one of those idiots who believes in analytics. We also have Keep Calm and Throw Dice for my dice players. And of course, we have the Better Life t-shirt for those who want to show the people in the casino that you, in fact, do live the better life. TheBetterLife.us/merch. Use promo code YO11 for 11% off of your purchase. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I am on Twitter and Instagram at TheBetterLife. And we are technically on Facebook, but I'm going to admit right now that I'm not too active on that right now. And by not too active, I mean not really at all. So if you want to go like it and get sort of ahead of the curve, so that way when I start posting content on there, you're seeing it, feel free. Otherwise, I will alert listeners when the Facebook page becomes active enough to warrant the like. But we are there. We're coming back next week with a really cool interview that I got to do with someone that I have sort of been following the career of for almost a decade now. He's a professional sports bettor. He lives in both infamy and famously in the sports betting world. Really, really excited to get that interview to you next week. Good luck on all your NFL, NBA, NHL, soccer bets this week. Good luck if you hit the casino. I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.